Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome into the studio on tonight. I am so glad to be here with you. I tell you, last week was our first show of 2023, and today marks our second show of 2023, but oh my gosh, this marks probably thousands of episodes over the last 8 years, and I'm just honored, and I feel privileged that God is still saying, yet He's still willing to use me, and I'm privileged that God, that I'm still saying yes. Yes, Lord, I'll go and I'll do. But my goal is to be pleasing to Him, to be obedient, and tonight's show is going to reflect on some things, and hopefully it blesses you as much as it's blessed me. I've been kind of looking, and we all are looking at the world around us and looking at things that's going on, and we're probably all tired of being beat up all the time. And, you know, and some of us, I don't know about you all, but, man, it's been a spiritual journey, a spiritual battle over the last few months. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of, I believe there's a lot of exposure that's going on in the spiritual realm, and we're being called. I believe the body, God has given the body an opportunity to get it right, and I believe that in this season, God is calling. He is raising up a remnant of people that's bold spirits. And what do you mean, Coach D, bold spirit? People that's going to speak the truth in and out of season, people that's not going to tickle ears. People, you know, we spent the last, and I know it's probably been more, but at least the last three decades talking about how people could be blessed, how people could prosper, how people could get planes, trains, buses, cars, houses, husbands, wives, all of that. And the church has gotten so caught up in that that we forgot what this walk is really about. And it's about being light in darkness. And if we're not careful, we'll start looking just like darkness. And darkness won't be unusual for us because it's going to be comfortable, right? It's going to be comfortable. And I just think that we got to make sure that we're staying conscious and that we're staying focused so that we could be, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And I think the salt has lost its savor. That doesn't mean that God's going to lose because we know who wins in the end. But I believe that there's a warning that he's putting out for us that we can, you know, that we got to preach both. We got to preach, you know, I said last week, I think Deuteronomy 28, Old Testament, and I know there's a lot of people talking about, well, I'm a New Testament person. You got people that don't even read the Old Testament because they're I'm grace. And I think tonight the message is going to really help us in that area. But people are just teaching a certain part. They're teaching blessings. But nobody's teaching the curses, and it's obvious that the curses, even if you're a New Testament, walking in the New Testament, grace is awesome that what Jesus has done for us is awesome. But guess what? Those curses from the Old Testament is still showing today. We're still seeing the manifestation of those curses. We're still seeing it today. We're seeing people that's cursed, you know, that they're not you know, that's cursed in their bodies, that's cursed in their minds. We're seeing it. So that tells us that word, that God's word from Genesis to Revelation is real. It's alive, it's well, and it's relevant. That's what I should say, it's relevant. Yes, new church, the New Testament church, yes, Jesus is Lord. Yes, there's only one way to be saved. Yes, he was our atonement. He came for us. He shed his blood for us. Yes. You know, all of that is yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Abba, Father, that you loved us that much, that you came in the flesh. Amen. But the Old Testament was preparing us for that coming. It prepared us, so it's very relevant. Amen. So we're going to get into the Word. I'm excited about the word on tonight. I'm going to ask you all that's listening in to be interceding, to be praying on my behalf, that Denise don't show up, that Nisi don't show up, that Wesleyan don't show up, but that God's Spirit, his Holy Spirit shows up, because there's no anointing in Coach D. I mean, you know, there's no deliverance in Coach D. There's no deliverance in Denise. There's no deliverance in Nisi, but there is deliverance in God. So, Father, we just thank you as we get into your word on tonight. Father God, I pray that you would prepare, that you've already prepared the atmosphere, that people will be able to receive what goes forth on tonight, Lord. Lord, that we will be able to walk away with nuggets that will help us to continue to walk this walk, Father God, and walk this walk in excellence. We know that we're not perfect, but a spirit of excellence we are more than capable to achieve according to your word. So, Father God, just be with us on tonight. Open the ears for those that's live in the studio and for those that's listening in through the internet, Father. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Woo! I'm excited on tonight, but I'm going to let you guys know right now, get your pen, get your paper, get ready to take notes. I'm going to be going through, quite a few scriptures and breaking things down, and I'm going to be bouncing. And so generally when you're in a teaching setting or Bible study setting, there, you know, so much stuff is going forth, and sometimes you just need to jot down the scriptures so you could go back and read and study those for yourself, so that you could get an understanding of what this what the scripture was saying to you. Now, keep in mind, I want to be careful. Now, I do give my opinion, right? I do. So I try to be careful that I don't mix my opinion up with the scripture, but I'm going to read you the scripture from the Word of God, which is the Word of God, inspired by God. And then I might elaborate on something based on my opinion of what it meant to me or what revelation I received in it. That may not be your revelation, and that's okay. We all have our personal walk. We all have our personal walk with God. Amen. And that's why I tell you to write the scripture down so you'll know for yourself. Don't just trust Coach D that I'm quoting it right or anything. Test it for yourself. So we're going to get into the Word, and where we're going to start at on tonight, guess what? We're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to go to the book of Hosea. That's H-O-S-E-A. And we're going to go there, and that's where we're going to begin tonight's message. I believe that's where God would have us to start. And this is, of course, setting the foundation. Now, we're going to go over to Hosea, so I'm going to have you go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 4. We're going to start there, but I also want you to just kind of make a mental note, because I'm going to skip straight from Hosea, and I'm going to go all the way to Matthew chapter 7. So just kind of make that mental note if you need to jot that down, but we're going to go from Hosea 4, 4 and 7 to Matthew 7, 21 and 23. Stay with me. Don't lose focus. Don't jump ship. Don't fall asleep. Don't go check on your roast in the oven. Just stay with me, because we're going to go somewhere with this, and I believe that it's, again, that God wants us to know something. Hosea 4, 4 and 7. Yet no man strive nor reprove, which is rebuke, another. For thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fail in the day, and the prophets also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Now let's hurry up and skip over to the New Testament. I'm going to give you a few minutes to get over to the New Testament. And we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name hath cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. So starting in Hosea chapter 4, everybody knows this scripture, you know, especially 4, 6. Everybody knows it well. You know, we hear people say it. We hear people take it in and out of context. We hear people, you know, but we know the scripture says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And knowledge, as I was studying this on tonight, and I actually heard someone say that if ignorance is darkness and knowledge is light. And when I heard them say that, it didn't make sense to me. I'm like, okay, I kind of get it there. You know, ignorance is darkness and knowledge is light. And I was like, okay, everything for me is a word study. When I hear the word, I don't want to just assume. I don't want to be so intelligent that I just assume that I know what that word means. You know, I want clarity. I want to know, I do a word study. I want to know what Webster say. I want to go into the Word of God. I want to know what the biblical meaning of it is. I want to know what the Hebrew meaning is. I mean, I really kind of break down and go into a study because I want to make sure I understand, because we do. We hear words being thrown out and we act like we have an understanding of it, and then sometimes we find out that we didn't have an understanding at all. And guess what? You can't do what you don't understand. And so when I heard someone say that ignorance is darkness and knowledge is light, of course I started wanting to find stuff. I need something that's gonna give me a little bit more understanding of this. And so as I began to kind of study and go through and get definitions and figure out some stuff, I found that it's a metaphor. You know, saying that, and if you know what a metaphor is, it's kind of like symbolic or you know, it's like, you know, you hear people talking about analogies and metaphors and some, you know, and symbolic for it, but that's a metaphor. And the metaphor basically is saying that that when we think about light, when you think about, actually think about light, light is revealing. Light, when we put on the light, it makes things easier for us to find. Things are easier to see. You know, we can get a whole lot done when the light is on. And so so knowledge is a metaphor for light, right? So with knowledge, if we know what knowledge means, knowledge is knowing. You know, knowledge is knowing something. It's revealing. It's helping us to have a clear understanding of something. It's a knowing. It's really just a knowing. And then ignorance is darkness. And ignorance, when you think about it, when you think about somebody that's ignorant, ignorance is not necessarily a bad thing. It means you don't know. You're in the dark to that situation, or you're in the dark to that circumstance. You don't know. You're ignorant to it. And it's okay to be ignorant, because if you acknowledge being ignorant, that means that you're willing to know. You're willing to learn. Stupidity is not knowing and not wanting to know. And a lot of people are operating in stupidity because a lot of people are ignorant to the things of God. And guess what? They're not even interested in knowing the things of God. They're ignorant to it. They don't know the things of God, and they're not interested in knowing the things of God. They've gotten caught up in various things of darkness, and they are content being in the darkness. They are content being ignorant. They don't want to know the light. They don't, you know, they don't seek the light. They are just content being in the darkness. And so we know that in the natural, if you're sitting in your room, the light is off, it's dark. We know that once the light switch comes on and the light comes in, what does the light do? Light exposes darkness. Where darkness likes to hide. Darkness is hidden. It's in the dark places. You can't see. And light exposes the darkness. So, of course, when we're walking in our right steps, we're walking. We're supposed to be walking in light. And you know why a lot of people, and you know it, why the Christians are persecuted. Because they bring light. They bring light. And that light is, we know that light. That light is Yeshua. Yeshua is Jesus. We know he's the light. And so people don't like, you know, people really don't like the light. You know, they don't like the light. They would rather run from the light, because now the light is exposing those dark areas. And I mean, some of us, the light, we don't really like the light. We say we're part of the light, but the light begins to expose those ugly places. You know, when God begins to shine his light, even after we accept him, when he begins to shine his light, we've come into the light. So now we're conscious and we are noticing things about us that we don't like. Those things have always been there, but now we're noticing certain things about us. You know, we notice when, you know, maybe we have a spirit of gossip, or maybe we have a spirit of jealousy, or, you know, or maybe we have a spirit of anger. So all these things, when we come into the knowledge of God, he begins to reveal. He begins to shine a light on all these things that's within ourselves. But the good thing about it, yeah, he's shining a light on that ignorance, the darkness. But the good thing about it is that we're okay with him showing us those things. We're now trying to find ways to overcome that darkness. we're now finding, we'll find ourselves getting into his word to learn more, you know, and find out what his word says about it and why it should not be a part of us, that darkness, and why we have to overcome it and why we have to get rid of it and why we have to walk in the spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we start searching scripture. We start praying and fasting because we really want to see the transformation in our life. We really want to be renewed, right? So we're drawn. We now become like moths. We're drawn to this light, and that light is Jesus, and we're drawn to him, and we want to get closer to it, and we want to know more about it, right? There's a knowing. Biblically, light has always, it has always been symbolic of holiness. It's always been symbolic of goodness. And guess what? It's always been symbolic of knowledge, wisdom, grace, hope, and God's revelation. And in this sense, knowledge, which is light, because we know, you know, we see light as energy. You hear people say, go with the light, stay in the light. That's, you know, this universal talk stuff. But it's the energy. People's always talking about energy. And light is energy. And in this sense, knowledge, though it is metaphor of light, it is not a it's not a kinetic, and I'm not going to get into scientific stuff, but it's not a kinetic energy. And if you know about kinetic energy moves. It's motion, okay? But this is rather potential energy, this knowledge. So even though it's a representation or metaphor of light, it's not that kind of energy. Let's go over to Proverbs real quick, and I hope I'm not speeding through this, but I really want you guys to get in, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will just break it down and make it simplistic for us to be able to understand it. I'm going to go to Proverbs, and I'm skipping around here a little bit, but the highlights of what I want you to get tonight is knowledge. I want us to get a full understanding of knowledge and why that's important in our walk. You know, why is that important in our walk? And we read two scriptures. We read Hosea, and then we read Matthew. And, you know, keep in mind as I'm going to these scriptures, as I'm reading, as I'm talking, keep in mind that the first one told us that my people perish for lack of light. They don't know the light. They don't know God. So they perish. Lack of knowledge. Keep that in mind. And then the other one was, he was speaking of people going to say, Lord, Lord. You know, basically, hey, Father, you know me. You remember me. I was preaching, teaching, laying hands on the sick, and it was becoming healed. I was preaching, and signs and wonders was happening. Remember me? And he going to tell them, I don't remember you. I never what? Knew you. You didn't know me. What could that possibly mean? You don't know me. But what you mean I don't know you? I've been doing all this stuff in your name. But he's saying you never knew me. And I found that interesting because in Genesis, I think it's chapter 4, where the word of God said, and I'm going way back there. I told you I was going to be bouncing around. But see, we just read the scripture, but you got to not just read the scripture. You got to really taste it. You got to be still in it. You know, it's good to be able to read through the whole book of Ephesians, or be able to read through the whole book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel. It's good to be able to read through them, but just to read through them, are you just reading through, or are you getting some type of, is it giving you some type of revelation? Is it revealing something to you? And so when I was thinking about and preparing for tonight's message, and I heard him say, I never knew you. And immediately the scripture that came to mind was in Genesis chapter 4, when the word of God said, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. And I read that scripture many times, but you know what? I'm probably thinking just like many of you. You read that scripture, and when it says Adam knew his wife, we're thinking, you know, wish he would, you know, we're thinking, oh, it was just he had sex with her. You know, he could have sex with her and got her pregnant. just that, you know, that's what we're thinking. But tonight, I got a different revelation. Yes, she conceived. Yes, she birthed a child out of that. But I got a different revelation because he knew her. They could have easily said he had sex with her or he entered into her, but he said he knew her and she conceived. And then all of a sudden my mind went somewhere else and that's going to be a different show. But I was thinking even in the, you know, in relationships, marriages, you know, and we're and when I think about marriage, you know, if people are consumed with sex as it pertains to why they want to get married or before they get married, if that's just it, then they're not, there's not a no. It's just a do. And something about the no, she conceived. Well, I'm not thinking just of a physical, natural pregnancy, but I'm thinking that she conceived. In other words, he inserted something. He imparted something in her, and she conceived. It produced life. It produced. And I often say I'm an incubator. And people say, well, what does that mean, Coach D? But an incubator, I would be an incubator to my husband. And an incubator is something that something is imparted in, like in this, in the incubator is normally an egg, and it stays in that incubator and is nurtured and is until fruition, until it grows. And I believe even in marriages that the husband, who is the head, that he's supposed to be able to have a vision, that he could speak that vision to his wife. When I think about the Proverbs 31 woman, and because she's an incubator, if he knew her, she would conceive. So she would be able to take that vision, and she would be able to nurture it. And she will be able to, that's what a helpmeet is. She will be able to help in that thing growing and that thing becoming, you know, manifesting into what that vision is. So it's not that he just focused, oh, he had idea of the vision. I'm not saying that he doesn't help in it, but he knew her and she conceived. And in the process of the conceiving, she birthed who? Was it Cain or Abel, one of them first? I'm getting off track. Let me get off that subject. But anyway. So we need to, he said, I knew you not. What would be a reason? Because he said, I knew you from the foundation of the earth and, you know, you've been called and you're predestined and you think about all these things. Wouldn't that be something when you're reading these things and then the day comes and he tells you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. And I believe that what he's trying to tell us is that when there's a knowing, when we're walking in the light and we know, how do you know somebody? Because you spend time with them. You spend time in conversation. You spend maybe one-on-one time face-to-face, but you're spending time with them. Even in a marriage, I mean, some marriages are destroyed. Why? Because of lack of quality time. He didn't know me. I didn't know her. And the marriage is dissolved. And then you could take people, you know, I hear people say, well, I don't do, you know, in this day and age, I can't understand why. How in the heck did she marry him? Or how did he marry her? And they met online. And I don't understand that. But they're finding that this new age of dating or meeting people is not like it used to be. And that these people are meeting and these people are getting married, and these people are staying married or having successful marriages. And I would probably think that probably it was the knowing. What you mean, Coach D? Because oftentimes these people are meeting on different, you know, different areas of the world, you know, or different cities or different states, and it's distance. So guess what they're doing? They're spending time in conversation. They're spending time talking. He said, well, yeah, people can tell you what they want you to know. That's true. That's where your discernment, your relationship with God has to play a part in that. But they're spending time getting to know each other. They're spending time in conversation. They're, you know, they're being hopefully vulnerable and transparent about their likes and their dislikes and their desires and where they see themselves and where they see, you know, how God, what God has called them to is, does this person fit into those plans? And so they're spending time in conversation. They're not spending time having to try to fight, or, you know, fight sometimes the physical. And we know that people real in the physical. I mean, especially if you're an adult, especially if you've ever been married before, especially if you have kids, that means you've been active sexually. And so if you've been active sexually, then it's a lot harder for you to live a life of abstinence. So coming together, there's more of a challenge there. So you're spending more time fighting this challenge than you may be even spending and getting to know the person. Now, I'm not saying people that meet the traditional way don't work. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that they're starting to show statistically that people that's meeting in this new way, meeting online, meeting on dating sites or whatever else, are meeting, these people are meeting and they're marrying one another, and these marriages are lasting. And I don't know, I'm just maybe giving my opinion that I think it's something in the knowing. They're getting to know each other. And I think that's the same thing with us in our relationship with God. We got to spend time with him. We got to get to know him, because as we get to know him, and we talk about this all the time, and how we get to know him is in his word. We got to be still in his word. We got to be, you know, in his word, but not just in his word, in his presence. You know, you got the word, and then you got worship, and you know, and you got prayer. You know, so you go in his word, and then you go into prayer, and prayer is your petitions to him. But worship is him speaking to us. That's where we're still in his presence. We're not asking for anything. You know, we're not trying to talk. We're trying to be still and hear what he has to say. And I keep bringing this back to relationship, because even God gave his examples in the New Testament with how, you know, that Jesus was the head of the church. You know, he's the husband, and we're the bride. And so that's why I keep referring back to relationship. How many have been in a relationship, and men have this complaint all the time, that they're sitting there, they're trying to know their wives, they're trying to talk to their wives, and while they're trying to talk to her, she's trying to talk to them. So she never hears what he's saying. She never hears his concern, his vulnerability, because she's yapping and he's trying to talk. Well, that's the way we are with God. We always in prayer, always asking God for something. Lord, can you do this? Lord, I need this. Lord, send me this. Lord, we're always doing that. And then we say, well, he never answered my prayer. No, because you never listened. You never sat in his presence. Because sometimes what we might find out is that if we just go into an attitude of worship, and worship has been defined as extravagant respect, but if we go into an attitude of worship and be still, we may just find out that maybe what we're praying for is not what God wants to give us. Maybe what we're praying for is something that's so minute. And God is, you know, you're still crying about not getting Valentine candy or Valentine flowers. And God is saying, man, you worried about the wrong thing. You worried about getting some Valentine candy and flowers. And I'm trying to build you up. I'm trying to bring you, you know, I'm trying to bring you your Boaz, you know, and you worried about something else. He's trying to do some things in our life, but he's got to trust us. He's got to trust us, and that's why this whole thing of prosperity and blessings and stuff is not lining up with the word of God, because God wants to bless us. Believe it. He wants to bless us. He wants he says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he would give us the desire of his heart. Do you know why he says that? Because to delight in something means to spend time in it. It means you can't even delight it unless you know it. And if you know it and you delight in it, and he said he's going to give you the desire of his heart, the desire of your heart. The reason why he's willing to give you the desire of your heart, because he knows your heart is in the right place. Because you have delighted yourself in him. And when we spend time with somebody, we begin to know what they like. You know, we know what they want. We know the desires of their heart, right? And so when we're spending time with God and we're delighting in God, we begin to know what God wants for us, and we get to a point in life where it's no longer what I want, but it's what God wants for me. So I don't want what I want. I don't want because this person looks this, or I'm at the point where it's just, I don't want job that God don't want for me. God, you know, some of us is praying for God, Lord, please give me a job. I need this, I need that. And God said, I'm not trying to give you a job. You're trying to be an employee, and I'm trying to make you an employer. But I got to refine some stuff in you. I got to get rid of some stuff in you. I gotta perfect some things in you, because what I have for you is big, and it's for kingdom purpose. And if I put you where I want to put you too soon, you won't be mature enough to handle it. You won't be mature enough to handle it. So he got to send us, he got to allow some stuff to happen. He got to begin to prune us and send us through some things. It's the refinery. You know what the refinery does? It burns off the, it burns off the garbage, the junk. You know, I think in metal, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to speak. If I'm wrong, somebody pray for me. But gold goes through a process. It goes through a process, and it's refined, and it goes through, and it burns off stuff, and then it comes back out, and I think it sits, and it gets hard again, and then it's impurities. It's burning off the impurities so that you can get to the true value of it. Same way with diamonds. There's a process. Same way with pearls. There's a process. If you think it looks pretty and good just off the top, no. He had to go through a process of cleansing before it was valuable. I mean, it was already valuable, but before you could see the value. And that's why it's careful. You know, that's why the word of God is telling us about, you know, being careful what we say, being careful having idle conversations and prejudging, you know. There's a righteous judgment, but most of the time people judge it, they being judgmental, and coming from a good place. It's not a righteous judgment. And that's why God is telling us to be careful, because you don't know, you know, we'll see something. And like I said, when you first see a diamond before it's been processed, if you see a pearl before it's been processed, if you see gold, then it just looks like, it just looks. You know, and you will actually, if you're not careful, you'll pass it up. You'll pass it up, or you'll turn it down, because it didn't look like what, you know, it didn't look like it had value. But indeed, it absolutely had value. But it had to go through the process of knowing. So I said we're going to go through, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. I don't know how we got off into that, but God must really wanted us to hear this. But so we were getting back to knowledge and the knowing. Let's get to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to go with verse 7. Say, Coach D, why are you reading Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7? Well, it's going to go back to what we were talking about biblically. Light has always been a symbolic for holiness, goodness, or knowledge, wisdom, grace, hope, God's revelation. And Proverbs 1 and 7 tells us the fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that stood out for me because, again, it's in the know. It's in the know. And so when we have a reverence of the Lord, so when you respect something, you're gonna treat it a lot different. You know, when you respect something, when you have a reverence for something, I often talk about when I was a child or when I was a teenager, and, you know, we would be doing what teenagers do, acting up. And but there was a reverence, even though I didn't even know God really then. I mean, I gave my life to Christ when I was 12 years old, but I didn't have nobody to cultivate that. So I gave my life, and I said the sinner's prayer, and I meant it in my heart, and I meant it in my heart, and I know that I actually believe that I experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit when I gave my life to Christ at 12, but I didn't have the culture, nobody to cultivate. I didn't have nobody to tell me the right thing to do or the right, you know, I just didn't know. So I was left unto my own. And, of course, we know once you get saved, that don't mean you're not going to be without attack, because once you get saved, the enemy now knows that he's lost another person to the kingdom of life. And so he's going to work overtime to try to destroy or to try to put that light out. And he did that in my own life. And I've oftentimes shared my testimony. And but saying that to say is that even when I didn't really have an understanding of God and stuff outside of Jesus loves me or this little light of mine, I didn't have no understanding. But there was something in me. You know, God had already placed from the foundation of the world something inside of me. And you'll hear a lot of people that give a similar testimony. But there was already something inside of me, because there was a reverence, and maybe it was a religion, but I didn't really know religion. I didn't grow up in church. You know, church, some people grew up as kids in church. I didn't grow up in church as a kid. Church just was not a part of the program as a kid. My parents didn't get into the things of God and stuff. I was already a teenager by the time, you know, that they did, and I was almost out of the house. But the thing I was going to bring up is that back then there was a reverence. If we were doing whatever it was that we were doing in those days, and we were getting ready to pass the church, there was a reverence. It was a fear that we would cross the street, or we would stop doing what we was doing, or we would stop talking the way we was talking. We thought was a respect. And you know, you just didn't go in front of a church and sit at the, you know, pass by there acting up. So we would cross the street, stop what we was doing, whatever, just to get past that church. And I know that might sound weird, but there was a reverence. And so I see this saying is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wise and instruction. And so that reverence, I thank God, and I'm going to attribute it to that now I'm in a place where I do have a beginning. I have a knowing. I have a knowledge of the Lord. I have a knowledge of God now. Look where I'm at now versus where I was then. So there's a knowledge. But the people who don't want to hear nothing about God, they don't want to hear nothing about the life. You know, when you start talking about the Bible, some people will, you know, it ain't good enough for them to just be quiet or don't act like they want to hear it. But now you got people that tell you that, you know, you ain't in the right religion, and, oh, you know, this is, you know, that's a slave religion. And I mean, all this anti-Christ activity, and that's what it's called, it's anti-Christ. They're anti-against the Christ. So it is an anti-Christ spirit, you know, but they start trying to detour you away from it. You know, they despise the wisdom. They despise the instruction. You know, they live like there is no consequences, right? So again, it starts with the reverence for the Lord. And then as I was reading through that, I skipped over to 1 John chapter 1 and 7. And in 1 and 7, it says this. But if we walk, and the reason why I'm going back from Old Testament to New Testament is because we got to be careful that we understand that the whole Bible is inspired by God, not just the New Testament. And we got to realize that it's all relevant. It's all relevant. It's like pieces of the puzzle. It all goes together. Thank God for grace, and we're there. Thank God that we're saved by grace through faith. Yes, that's amazing. We got something that the saints of old didn't have. You know, back in those days, God would, you know, lead them fire by day and cloud by night, and, you know, and then New Testament come, Jesus was God in the flesh. He walked with them. He walked with them. He talked with them. But guess what? He's in us. He's not walking with us. He's inside of us, right? So we have more than what they had, I believe, you know, so that's great. But we still have to remember. We still need to reference. We still need to make sure that we know that that's relevant from Old Testament to New Testament. You know, somebody said, well, I don't have to follow the law no more because I'm under grace. But that's not what the Word of God said, and we got to be careful that we don't begin to take words out of what the Scriptures say. We got to be careful that we're reading the Word for the Word and what the Word says, because we'll get caught up and we'll be doing things that we think is the right way to do stuff, and it ain't even what the Scriptures said. And you know what that's called? That's called false doctrine. When you are getting into the Word of God and you start taking out this and you start saying this but not this, and that kind of stuff is false doctrine. And there's a heavy cost for that. Amen. So 1 John 1, chapter 1 and 7, we're getting ready to start closing out here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, how many people know that but at the beginning of the sentence canceled everything that was said prior to? So when I was reading this scripture, I said, okay, so what is the but canceling out? So I said, okay, let me go look at 1 John 1, 6 real quick, because I need to understand what's being canceled out. And 1 John 1 and 6 states, if we say that we have fellowship with him, who's him? Jesus. And walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We do not do the truth. So what he's saying in 6 is that, yeah, if you say you fellowship with him, but you still walking in darkness, you still struggling in darkness, then you're lying and you're not in the truth. So you're not who you think you are, and you think you that, but you're still in darkness. And then come back to verse 7 again, right? Because we just read 6, and we understand now why verse 7 said, but. So it says, okay, if you're doing all this and you're doing that, you're a liar, and the truth ain't in you, ain't living the truth. But if, so it's telling you, here's a condition. But, now you do, but if you walk in the light as he is the light, you have fellowship with him and or have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses. So, what does that mean? That means that the blood of Jesus, God's son, cleanses us from all sin. But we have to be walking in the light. We have to be walking in the light and having fellowship with other believers, you know. So that's what it's saying, that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin when we're walking in the light. So it's clear that in order to walk in the light means we have knowledge and understanding. So we have to, in order to walk in the light, we have to have knowledge and understanding. The people that do, so basically in short, the people that do not, the people that do not understand will be trampled. Hosea 4:6 is simply saying this, that, and not just Hosea 4:6, because I read you New Testament scriptures as well, but basically it's saying in short, what this scripture is trying to get us to understand is that without understanding God and his word, God's people are destined for destruction. We see it today, people. Stop closing our eyes to the nonsense that we're seeing, and we've gotten caught up in it. Now, I can't talk for everybody else. I'm gonna talk for me. I've gotten caught up in it. I've gotten caught up on this cell phone thing. You know, I won't even leave the house. If I leave the house and get halfway where I'm at and realize I left my phone at home, guess what I'm doing? Turning around and going back and getting my phone. You know, you go out to dinner and you look around the restaurant and everybody, you know, they're supposed to be having family and breaking bread with loved ones and friends, and everybody at the table on their phone. Everywhere you go, you're posting on social media. You checked in here, you checked in there. You wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is look at your phone to see who posted on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. You know, back in the day, we used to have newspapers. back in the day we used to have newspapers. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And, you know, you sat at your breakfast table and ate a bowl of cereal and read the newspaper or read the box of cereal. You know, or some of you used to like to go sit on the, you know, in the lavatory. For those that don't know what the lavatory is, the bathroom. You sit in the bathroom, sit on the toilet, and you would read your newspaper. Now you don't even have to worry about that. You don't even have to worry if somebody stole your newspaper. As a matter of fact, I don't even think they have newspaper boys anymore. They don't have to. Why? Because you could pick up your phone and get all the news you need. So we're getting consumed with this. And it's not even subtle no more. Because a lot of the stuff that we see as we're scrolling through these different sites is demonic in every nature. It's demonic in every nature. So we're being so much more exposed to stuff. And so that much more we need to be exposed to the Word of God. That much more we need to have an understanding of the things of God. That much more we need to spend time with God. It's almost like a baby. You know, you've been so contaminated by the things of the world. It's there. It's impossible to avoid. But if you're spending an hour in this, then you need to be spending 2 hours to cleanse from it, to cleanse in the Word, to meditate in God's Word, to be still in His presence, to hear instruction. You know, we need to be in His presence. We need to have an understanding, a knowing of Him. We need to make sure that that we're not destined for destruction, that we're not getting caught up. Why? Why do we need to make sure? Because Jesus is the light, and the light changes things. John 1:5, it says, light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In other words, another version says, the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, so we got to stay in the light. And then 2 Timothy, I'm going to say this, and then we're going to close out. 2 Timothy is the last scripture I'm going to give you, and it's chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved. It doesn't say study to show your pastor approved. It doesn't say study to show the bishop approved. It doesn't say study to show the prophet approved or your husband approved, your kids approved. It says, in other words, study to show thyself is you. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We is our responsibility, because we could go to church, and believe me, people have been sitting up in church 10, 20, 30, 40 years getting false doctrine. And this is not, and when I say church, I'm talking about different buildings. I'm not saying every church. I'm not saying every, but there is false teachers, and there's false doctrine out there, and we've been sitting, and we're wondering why there's no change. There's no way that we could sit up under the Word of God and not begin to transform. And some of us is wondering, why am I not changing? Why am I still struggling? Why am I doing this? First, we have, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to fall on us. But one of my responsibilities in studying to show myself approved is that as I study the Word of God, and as I come into a knowing, something about the knowing, as I come into a knowing, then I can't go sit at everybody's table. Why? Because when I go sit at somebody's table and that table is not serving good food, I'm going to know. My spirit is going to notify me. That's going to make you sick. That ain't good. It's just like walking into somewhere. Somebody couldn't serve you no fish that's really stinking. So the first thing you'll say, ooh, is this fish full? What's wrong with it? Or you might just get a little taste of something. You're like, something ain't right. Same thing in this journey as we begin to eat of God's word. And as we study and as we get to know God and know His character and know His word, then guess what? We're not going to be able to sit at everybody's table. And this is important. Why? Because it says in the last days, even the elite will be deceived. You, me, all of us. If we're not doing our due diligence, all of us could be deceived. Because guess what? The enemy is busy, and he's a good duplicator. The enemy has created nothing. He's not a creator. He can't create. God is the creator of heaven and earth. God is the creator, and everything in it, God created. But it's the enemy that has perverted those creations, because he can't create. The only thing he can do is pervert. Music, God created. But it's the enemy that's perverted these people that want to give their lives over to the kingdom of darkness. The enemy can't create. But it's God who creates. And we need to know this God who's created not only heaven and earth, but he's created us in his image. And we need to know him. So, Father God, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you for your word. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the creator, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. And, Father God, we just thank you that you give us an opportunity to know you, to understand you, to sup with you. I thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you created a plan, that you had a plan B in place. Father, for surely you could have destroyed us. But, Father God, you love us that you sent yourself, your son, to come down on this earth, in this fallen world, Father God, to be birthed, to die, to be buried, and to be rose again, that whoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Father God, we thank you, not only do we confess, but that we believe in our hearts that truly Jesus is Lord. And because we believe that, Father, we're walking in the light and we're coming into a revelation, knowledge, and understanding of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that something was said that just enlightened you, or even encouraged you to want to know more. But none of us know it all, and many, you know, all of us have fallen short of his glory. All of us slip up from time to time. All of us have you know, we're, you know, just carnal mind. All of us have different desires and things that we want, and, you know, and everything. But we're just encouraging to just know him, spend time with him, like he said, delight in him so that he could give you the desires of your heart, so that your desires line up with the desires he has for you. So again, I want to just thank each one of you for tuning in. Next week, we will be here same place, same time, but I have a special guest next week that's going to come and bring us a powerful word. I'm excited about the word that's going to come forth on next week. This is someone that's been a guest many times or various times on this network, so I'm excited that they found the time to be able to come and bring forth the word next week. So that's next week. And also I'm going to say this because I used to say it, if you are listening into this program and you feel like the Lord has put something on your heart to share, whether it be a word, whether it be your testimony, please feel free to message me. If you have a message or get in touch with me, and I would love to speak with you and see if we have an opportunity to bring you onto the show. I would love that. So again, or if you know someone that has an amazing testimony or amazing word that you think would be a good guest for this show, please, please reach out to me and let me know. We are really trying to bring in guests at least a couple of times a month onto the show. I believe that the testimonies and things need to vary, and they need to come from different sources. So, again, if you know that, let me know. I want you all to know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and thank you again for joining us on this episode of Processing the Pain. Have a good night.